Hi everyone. Well, the talk that I have planned today, I think, is a very simple talk. There's nothing complicated that you're going to have to wrap your brain around, I don't think, but I'm absolutely certain that you will be challenged today as much as I have been challenged over this fundamental but strangely elusive practice. So today I want us to think about what it means to be a witness for Jesus. What does it mean to be a witness for Jesus? Back around 2008, God began to speak to Lorraine and I, and also to Ryan Nicky, about what it would take and what it would look like to have a Vineyard church here in Falkirk. And when the four of us talked together about this stuff and we visualized what it was that God was stirring in us, we always ended up talking about the people that we knew who didn't have a relationship with Jesus. Now, at that time, we were attending a Vineyard church in Edinburgh because it was the kind of church that we liked being a part of. But ultimately, we were becoming frustrated because as we were reaching out and sharing our love for Jesus and sharing Jesus with our friends and neighbours, we realised it was impractical to expect our friends and neighbours who lived around us here in Falkirk to travel to Edinburgh like we were doing to attend church. You know, like as Christians, we may travel to church, but it's not something really that non-Christian people expect to do. So we were trying to love people and share our experiences of Jesus with them, and some were responding to that. And we had built some great relationships up, still have those relationships and friendships. And we even managed a few times to bring our neighbours with us to church in Edinburgh. But we were determined that we wanted to have a fellowship, a gathering here, a place that we could invite and include our unchurched, unsaved, non-Christian friends into. And that we wanted to plant a church that would be a church for people who don't go to church. Now, as I've reflected a lot recently on these early dreams and passions, I have felt challenged, and if I'm honest, I've also felt a bit defeated in what I haven't achieved for God in the subsequent years. Now, before we go all doom and gloom and throw the baby out with the bathwater, I'm not saying that I want to write everything off that we've done as a couple and we've done as a church in Falkirk Vineyard. Because with God's help, we have seen outrageous blessing from God time and time again. And none more so than the fact that you are here. God brought you to Falkirk Vineyard, right? So we are, I mean, I can't tell you how much we are blessed that you guys are in this with us and you are a part of this. And I have to pinch myself sometimes to when I think of all of you and all of the people we have connected with over the years who were drawn to this community, this fellowship, this church. But as we approach this new season, you know, this last half of 2021, something new is happening. And I don't think we even have to be deeply spiritual to realize that something new is happening. We have been on an incredible journey on this past year of transition, of change, of having to think on our feet, of trying new methods of keeping church connected together and connected with those further afield. And it's all been done at an incredibly fast pace. But now, having been through the most turbulent and difficult of seasons, we're thinking about, I guess we're calling it coming back, yeah? We're thinking about coming back. We're asking, what will church be like after lockdown? And the questions that I am always asking is who's still with us? And what new faces will we see when we gather again on Sunday mornings? And what will our ministries be like? What's our kids' ministry and our youth and our worship and our compassion and our small groups going to look like in this new season? And as I spoke about a couple of weeks ago, there's also we're also going through some difficult financial restructure within the church as well. So we're not short of things that are changing, and we're not we're not short of new things that are going to be happening in the near future. But if you remember before the pandemic, God was already changing our thinking. I was preaching about revival, if you remember, in the early part of 2020, and we began meeting on Sunday evenings to pray for revival. And in those times of prayer for those that gathered together, we did a lot of repenting. And we were asking God to forgive us for our negligence and not seeing more people come to Jesus and be added to our church family. But it did feel like we were on the edge of something significant and different, that God was about to move and shake up our world. And we were absolutely convinced of that. And then COVID came. Now, I'm not sure if when we were anticipating something significant happening to shake us up and shake our world up, that this is what it was going to be. But I've been thinking about that recently, and we have to consider that maybe this is what God was preparing us for. But anyway, COVID came, and we began to pile all our energy into moving online and redefining and redesigning how we did church. And as I think about those days, those early days of the pandemic, it all just seems so long ago. But it is, barely 18 months since that all happened. So now though, as we move forward to towards meeting together physically on Sundays again, and hopefully that's going to be in the not too distant future, I'm asking God, and I hope you are too, what's next? What is next for me? What is next for Falkirk Vineyard? And what is next for our town and our region? And how do we do this? How do we navigate the transition from coming out of lockdown and coming back into physical gatherings regularly on a Sunday again? What is it that God wants us to leave behind from what we're doing before? What is it that God wants us to continue doing? What have we brought with us pre-pandemic that God wants us to continue doing? But also, what is it that God wants us to do that is brand new? So what do we leave behind? What do we continue with? And what do we do that is new? One thing is for certain, God is shaking things up. So I want to begin today by reading some verses from Acts chapters 1 and 2, and then I'll share what God has given me to say. Now, I'm just, I've structured this so it's really like a kind of paraphrase or a summary of what was happening in the first two chapters of Acts. So I'm just going to read it through, but it's a mixture of between Acts 1 and 2, okay? So Acts 1, verse 8 is where we start. So Jesus said this to his disciples, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. You will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." On the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. Suddenly there was a sound from heaven like the roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Then what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them, and everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit. At that time, there were devout Jews from every nation living in Jerusalem. And when they heard the loud noise, everyone came running, and they were bewildered to hear their own languages being spoken by the believers. They were completely amazed. "How can this be?" they exclaimed. "These people are from Galilee, and yet when we hear them speaking and yet we hear them speaking in our own native languages. Here we are, Parthians, Medes, Elamites, people from Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, the province of Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and the areas of Libya around Cyrene, visitors from Rome, Cretans, and Arabs. And we all hear these people speaking in our own languages about the wonderful things God has done." It's just an amazing story, that, isn't it? It's, every time I read that, I'm just like, oh, I just want what happened that day. I want that for us today. I want that for Falkirk. Anyway, in Acts 1, Jesus tells his followers that the Holy Spirit will come upon you and you will be my witnesses. The Holy Spirit will come upon you and you will be my witnesses. So, first of all, we have to ask, what is a witness for Jesus? And are you one? Are you a witness for Jesus? And if you've answered yes to that question, then I would love to know what you do, because I want to learn how to be a better witness for Jesus. And if you aren't witnessing for Jesus, I wonder why that is. And I wonder, is it simply down to embarrassment or concern of what people might think of you? And if that is the case for you, then I want to assure you, you're in good company. I haven't met any Christian who hasn't experienced that at some point, and I know that that has been my experience on many an occasion. But I also know that our reluctance our fear of witnessing, of staying quiet about our faith and about what Jesus has done in our lives, I know that that has to change. Because being a witness of Jesus is one of the foundation stones of the Church of Christ. As we've read there in Acts 1, Jesus commanded it. He said to the disciples, "You will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere." And in Acts 2, we see the command being lived out in the early church when it said, when all these visitors to Jerusalem said, "We hear all these people speaking about the wonderful things God has done." So before we move on, can we agree that we are all called to be witnesses for Jesus? That if we belong to Jesus, we are his witnesses. If you are a believer in Jesus, then you are his witness. And if we are his church, then we are his witnesses. Secondly, what I want us to agree on is that witnessing is about speaking. Now, I'm sure you've heard the great misquote assigned to St. Francis of Assisi, which he was supposed to have said, "Preach the gospel at all times, and if necessary, use words." Now, there's no actual evidence that St. Francis of Assisi said those particular words. However, we do know from his writings and those who followed him that he was an advocate of our actions living up to our words and our words living up to our actions. And I think maybe the misquote has come from something around those things, that our words and our actions have to be intertwined, they have to align, they have to measure up to each other. And it's a bit like, you know, when James talks about faith and works, that our faith without works is dead. And sometimes we could say our faith without words is dead, that we have to speak about what Jesus has done in our lives and what he has done for others. And in the New Testament, anything about sharing the gospel or witnessing for Jesus is always related to the use of words alongside actions. We read this in 1 Peter. So the Apostle Peter, who did the amazing sermon at Pentecost, and he said this in his first letter in 1 Peter 3. He said, "You must worship Christ as Lord of your life. And if someone asks you about your hope as a believer, always be ready to explain it." So Peter's encouraging us there and instructing us there to speak and to talk about what is our hope as a believer, which I think is, what is it that Jesus has done for us? What has he rescued us from? And what has he rescued us into? And he goes on today to say, "But do this in a gentle and respectful way. Keep your conscience clear. Then if people speak against you, they will be ashamed when they see what a good life you live because you belong to Christ." So in that sentence, Peter is describing the fact that we live a life, we act out being a witness for Jesus. So we have to be ready to explain, to speak about our faith and our knowledge and our experience of Jesus, and we also have to be ready to live it out. So when it comes to witnessing for Jesus, it's not words or action. It's both, and it's and. It's words and action. So what is it then we are witnesses of? If we're going to witness for Jesus, what is it we are witnesses of? What is it we are telling people we have seen? Now, if we go to the dictionary definition of the word witness, a witness is described as a person who sees an event take place. A person who sees an event take place. Or a witness is to have knowledge of from observation or experience. So we are witnesses of what we have seen Jesus do in our lives, and also what we have witnessed Jesus do in the lives of others. And that's exactly what the crowds experienced and observed at Pentecost when they said, "We hear all these people speaking about the wonderful things God has done." Guys, you know, I think when it comes to witnessing, this is the starting point. This is where we leap off from. Starting point is to tell people what Jesus has done in your life. So, think about, what did Jesus do for you yesterday? What did you see him do yesterday? And what is he doing today? And what have you seen him do for you in the past? And what have you seen him do for others? A witness for Jesus speaks about the wonderful things that God has done. You know, people in our society are so estranged, they're so hurting, they're so adrift, that I believe that just talking and sharing about Jesus' love can bring profound changes. You know, Jesus said that his purpose for coming to earth was to give people a full and abundant life. Or as it says in another version, my purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. When you are a witness to the wonderful things that God has done, and when I say you're a witness, not just that you see it, but you're speaking about it, then you are bringing people closer to Jesus. When you are a witness to the wonderful things that God has done, you are bringing people closer to Jesus. And isn't that what we want? Don't we want to see people come and share in this amazing life that Jesus has given us? And I believe, if I not just believe, I am certain that God is calling us, this church, Falkirk Vineyard, to be a witnessing people. And not just one or two of us, and not just a few of us, but all of us. When we read that account in Acts, the word all, everyone, and together are right through that whole passage. Those two chapters, the people are together and everyone is involved. Witnessing is for all of us. And witnessing is not a project. I would go so far as to say that witnessing isn't even a ministry. I mean, I'm not talking about this today because we're going to be setting up a witnessing team. Because you are the witnessing team. We are the witnessing team. And that is what the church is. It's a crowd of witnesses. It's a crowd of people, a gathering of people who have seen what God has done. Individual people who spread the good news of Jesus, sharing what they have seen him do in their lives and the lives of others, is what a witness is. You know, we can read all the books, pray all the prayers, sing all the songs, be every church event going, but if you're not sharing your experience and knowledge of Jesus with others, I think we have to ask the question, what's the point? It's such a fundamental practice for all believers to witness. In my prep for this talk, I came across this analogy or story. It's a made up story in a sermon that I found online. So let me just tell you the story. I'm going to read it. So it's very tongue in cheek. So just remember that when I'm saying this. So here's the story. There was once a group that existed who called themselves fishermen. There were many fish in the waters all around them. In fact, the whole area was surrounded by streams and lakes filled with fish. And the fish were hungry. So week after week, month after month, and year after year, those who called themselves fishermen met in meetings and talked about their call to fish. They talked about the abundance of fish and how they might go about fishing. Year after year, they carefully defined what fishing meant. They defended fishing as an occupation and declared that fishing is always to be a primary task of a fisherman. Continually, they searched for new and better methods of fishing and for new and better definitions of fishing. And then these fishermen built a large, beautiful building called the fishing station. And their plea was that everyone should be a fisherman and that every fisherman should fish. After one stirring meeting in the fishing station, after hearing the subject of the necessity of fishing, one young fellow left the meeting and went fishing. The next day, he reported that he had caught two outstanding fish. So he was honoured for his excellent catch and was scheduled to visit all the big meetings possible to tell how he had caught these fish. And then eventually, this young fellow quit fishing in order to have time to tell about his experience to other fishermen. But imagine how hurt some were when one day a person suggested that those who don't catch fish were really not fishermen, no matter how much they claim to be. Yet it did sound correct. Is a person a fisherman if year after year he never catches a fish? As I read that for the first time, I heard God saying to me, "Falkirk Vineyard, it's time to go fishing." Now, I don't know much about actual fishing, but I do know that if you're going to catch a fish, you need good bait. And you put the bait on the end of your line and then you cast it out. Now, as followers of Jesus, we have the best bait available. So our job is to cast the bait. And when you do that, you might get a nibble. You might even have a few stories about the one that got away. But also, if you cast your bait, you might even catch a fish. In Acts 2, we are told that God added daily those who were being saved. And I have been asking myself a lot recently, why was this happening? Why were people continually being added to the fellowship, to the church, to the gathering of believers? And I think it was because that these people were speaking about the wonderful things God had done. They were actually being witnesses of Jesus. They were telling people the amazing things that Jesus had done in their lives. It talks about that they were in awe of the amazing things that the apostles were doing. And then, so when we think about how the early church behaved there, that they were talking and expressing Jesus all the time, I then think that we have to look at what about all the people that we're in contact with regularly who don't know Jesus? Think about all the people you're in contact with who don't know Jesus. Have you told them how Jesus saved you? How he gave you new life? A real and eternal life. And when they ask how you are or how you're doing, do you talk about what Jesus is doing in your life right now? And I'm talking about your family members, work colleagues, school friends, the guys you do sports with, the parents of your kids' friends, your neighbours, your next door neighbours. You know, I believe that the early church saw such a rapid increase in numbers because they were proactive and their witness. And the new Christians that were being added to their fellowship would do exactly the same. And I believe that God will add people to your fellowship, to the people around you, and to our church if we bear witness about the wonderful things that God has done. And that's the challenge, I guess. When it comes to witnessing, you either do it or you don't. And if you don't witness, you're very unlikely to see people that you know being saved. But if you do witness, I believe that God will bring many new believers into your life. And listening to this, as you've been listening to this, I don't know how you feel right now, but my guess is that there will be an array of different feelings right now. Some of you will be feeling excited. You'll be coming, saying like, come on, bring it on. And I hope that you are. But some of you might be feeling uncomfortable and maybe a little fearful of being a proactive witness. And I know, I've got to be honest, I've been bouncing between both of those feelings this past while. But excitement and fear are not what are going to drive us to do this. Because what we need is the Holy Spirit. Our first verse that we read today in Acts 1:8, Jesus said, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses. And as I close today, I just want to take a minute or two just to give you the opportunity to open your heart and open your mind to God, to receive the Holy Spirit, and particularly to receive the Holy Spirit to receive power to be a true witness of Jesus. So why don't we do that now? Why don't you just put your hands out in front of you? And we just invite you, Holy Spirit, to come. Wherever we are right now, we thank you that you're present with us. And Holy Spirit, would you increase your presence around us and within us? Would you fill us? And would you empower us with everything that we need to be a witness for Jesus? Where there is excitement and enthusiasm, Holy Spirit, will you harness that and use it for good? And where there's fear or reluctance or worry, Holy Spirit, I pray, would you take that and reshape that and harness that into power to make us effective witnesses. God, we have prayed for revival for Falkirk. And God, I confess that in my quest to see many people come to know Jesus, I have been found wanting because I do not witness effectively. So God, my prayer for myself and for my friends today is that today, Lord, would be a turning point, a day of repentance, when we change our direction of travel, when we face towards you and face out towards those in our lives, Father, that don't know Jesus. Would you make us fishermen who fish? And would you bring in a catch? Would you burst our nets with new people? Would you give us a problem with numbers? Would you challenge us to work out how to do with all these people that are coming to us to learn more about Jesus? God, that is my heart. So Lord, would you bless your people? And Holy Spirit, I thank you for what you're doing. And I just pray that you would seal the power that you've placed in us, seal it in us, Lord, and help us to release it as effective witnesses, sharing and declaring the good things that Jesus has done in our lives and in the lives of others. Amen.